With this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Divine Profit. Group 1 placed at 2, winning the Stallion making Caulfield Guineas at 3.
They come to the line together, Divine Profit!
His first foals are on the ground, and this son of Schwazier has delivered. Champion sire, champion foal. Divine Profit at Aquas Farm.
Here at Sky Sports Radio, we're gearing up to bring you all the action of Newcastle's Cup Carnival. Friday, there's 4 group races, including the Cameron, Tibby, Spring Stakes and Cup. Get the Newcastle winners Friday morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio.
Menangle winners, every Saturday morning from 10:30.
And Andrew Bensley joins me now at this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind. Andrew, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Simon. And we're at a reasonably quiet time in harness racing. The big races have gone. We've started off a new season and it won't be too long. I was looking last night at feature racing coming up and we have our regular Group 3s at Tabcorp Park, Menangle every Saturday night. We've got the Kilmore Pacing Cup coming up in Victoria shortly and then we'll head sort of into the summer months, Simon, and it's always an extremely strong one, and New Zealand always sort of kicks up around sort of October, November time with the New Zealand Cup. We're going to talk to Mick Guerin on the program this morning. Obviously, we had a very disturbing story announced that came to our attention during the week with 10 people charged around allegations of race fixing. We'll talk to Mick to get the very latest on that. There's some very prominent names that our listeners will know, and plenty of local news as well, Simon.
And we had a Group 3 from Menangle last night, Andrew. We're about to be joined by Steve Turnbull, who is the trainer driver of Joe Staramir. Let's take in a replay of the concluding stages.
Vegas Star through a third split of 27.2, the leader. Joe Staramir about a half length away, edging ever so close for 100 to go. It's Vegas Star, Joe Staramir about a head away. Vegas Star, Joe Staramir, Vegas Star, Joe Staramir. Got it, I reckon. Last top, Joe Staramir and Vegas Star. Give it to the outside. Third in, maybe Dance for
Glory.
Got
a replay there of the Group 3 from last night. And Joe Staramir began the favourite for the race and defeated Vegas Star and Dance for Glory, Andrew. And Steve Turnbull joins us on the line now. Steve, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Steve. And great performance by this horse. I mean, he just continues to take the step, Joe Staramir.
Yeah, he's always been a handy horse, but the last 12 months he raced in the chariots and things like that, and it just seems to have developed him into a lot stronger horse.
You were three wide early, and then you decided to slide forward and sit outside Vegas Star, but it was really, as Mitch Mann has just called it, it was the last bound, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had this great massive head on him near the other horse, and big long fella, and he seemed to take a week to get up past. But then I wasn't sure on the line. But anyhow, we got the nod. That was good.
I looked at the times. You know, they've run 26.9 early, and then they've Vegas Star was able to get a soft second sectional 29.3. But you didn't muck around over the concluding stages. This was the horse's best performance last night by the times, a mile rate of 150.9.
Yeah, we were really flying up on around the top turn, and I was panicking a bit, but he was digging deep, and then he kept it up all the way down the straight.
Has he surprised you with the improvement that he's just kept making?
He's always been a nice track worker. He always worked with Atomic Red and Conviction, and there's never been much between them out here. But naturally, Atomic Red's a very tough horse. And race well, but this fellow seems to be doing what he can do track work now and starting to put it at the track.
I mean, he's run 39 times, he's won 12 of those and 16 placings, so he's always been around the mark. I was talking with Greg Hayes, who knows certainly a lot more about harness racing and these horses going around, but he certainly feels that this horse can blossom into a really good, strong, open company pacer.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. He's always been really, really good in the heats, and then at the final at Menangle, he's been a little bit disappointing, and we didn't think he was gonna back up so good. So I tried to give him as easy a time last week, because I know he sat in the death seat, but I didn't drive him right out down the straight. I wanted to try and keep a little bit in him for the final.
Yep.
And he went 2 seconds quicker and done the same hard yard. So I was really happy with the way he backed up this week.
Yeah. What's the plan? Is there other suitable races coming around the next few weeks?
No. That was the main one we were looking at. Like a month or so ago, so it's hard to say what we'll do. We did enter him for the Inter Dominion later on, because I thought that series would suit him, but he's still got to go through his grades and be up to that class too. But the times he's running and sitting in the death seat, we're hoping he might, if he keeps stepping up, he might be competitive.
Yeah, for sure. Atomic Red, you mentioned there before, you took him up to Brisbane for the carnival up there. What's he up to?
Yeah, he had a bit of a break. He had a bit of a break when we got home. And again, he's a horse, I think, in the Dominion series, because he's very, very tough.
Yep.
So we had to give him a little bit of a break straight after Brisbane. He had about 3 weeks off, and he's just about due to be hobbled now.
Okay, so I saw a tweet last night. I think it was 100 days to the grand final.
Yeah,
so,
100 days. I've got 100 days to get him right.
You've got to get him right at 100 days. But, we know how. I mean, the one thing with the Inter Dominion is that you've just got to have that tough horse like an Atomic Red.
Yeah, that sort of series, like I said, it will suit him. And he is a grinder, the worst part up in that grade. He'll go up and do all the work, and then somebody will be sitting up on him and can ping him down the straight, which has happened a couple of times. But in the next grade down, he just runs them off their legs.
Yeah, certainly does. How's the property? Have you got through winter okay out there at Bathurst?
Been very sad until about a month ago. And then we got 16 mil, and then about 20 mil out of this last lot. So it's very green, but if the frost stay away now, we should get a bit of growth for the spring.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's just the dryness is just everywhere. We just need consistent rain for the next couple of months, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. Dad's got the farm over there with the cows, and we've been helping him feed them all winter. And we've got through. We've been a lot luckier than a lot of others.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's some areas. All right, well, Steve, well done last night with Joe Starr's of Mia, and we look forward to seeing the horse long term as Hazy predicts into open company, and let's hope he can really make the good step. Well done last night.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Turnbull, trainer driver of Joe Starr of Mia, winning the Group 3 last night at Tabcorp Park at Menangle.
Well, you mentioned, Andrew, a few moments ago that there's been this news from New Zealand through the week with police arrests and investigations, and Mick Guerin joins us now to help fill us in with what's been going on. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. Big hi to everybody listening around New South Wales. I hope they had a good day on the punt yesterday, and I hope your Sunday morning started in a nice, relaxing fashion, which has not been the case in New Zealand harness racing this week.
No, it certainly hasn't, Mick. So take us back. Midweek, there was a number of properties where suddenly the news spread very quickly that there was a number of properties closed down. And was it 10 people charged?
Yeah, that was the result of what was called Operation Inca by the New Zealand Police, which the New Zealand Police were tipped off by the Racing Integrity Unit, our version of the Stipendiary Stewards, more or less, about potential alleged race fixing and harness racing. Now, this doesn't involve Addington or Alexandra Park or any of the major races. It involves sort of smaller tracks. And the race fixing is basically centred the investigation around three or four people, very prominent horsemen, people who are near the top of the premierships on the driving side of things, and people who tend to travel together to some of these lower circuit meetings. The police were given reason to believe they had tried to corrupt the result of a couple of races, put telecommunication surveillance on them, so both text messages and recording their phone calls, and after what was quite a prolonged investigation, arrested five or six people, or brought them in for questioning, and then subsequently charged five or six people over race fixing, which could involve around, from what I can understand, three or four races. The net, though, got wider, because during the telecommunications surveillance they were undergoing, they also found, and I'm not trying to exaggerate it and say it was a drug ring, but that a couple of people in harness racing had been either supplying to each other, and it doesn't suggest it's supplying for profit, they're not so much dealing in drugs, but supplying to each other either MDMA or ecstasy. So basically someone would text somebody, have you got the Eki pills for tonight? Yes, I have. That sort of thing. Now, that was part of the wider surveillance. And because it's a Class B drug, MDMA, the police have charged three or four people with that. So one of the people who is charged with race fixing has been charged also with drugs. There's been three separate people charged with drug offences. And then there's been five other people charged with alleged race-fixing offences. So it's become a very big mess, fellas. It's one of those things which, handled by the stewards, the race-fixing would have been a decent-sized story. Once the police start rolling into properties and bringing people in, and the high-profile people in, and we're in the police vests and the media gets involved, it becomes a very, very big story. And I'm not trying to belittle race-fixing if that has actually happened and say it isn't a big story, but, of course, it's become very big national and now Australasian-wide news, and also because of the people involved, have now been stood down pending their court hearings. Now, the four big names who are alleged to have race-fixed are going to appear in the Christchurch District Court on Tuesday, and there we'll have a better indication of how deep the telecommunications surveillance has gone, what races they're talking about, and whether there's multiple charges or one charge each. So it's very complicated. As you gentlemen would know, from dealing with the police, obviously they keep their cards very close to their chest, and obviously there's things which are sub judice, which we can't talk about when they're in front of the courts, and therefore I won't name the people, even though those names, as tend to be the case these days, are pretty widely known on social media. There's also the potential an overseas owner, or sorry, an owner who owns some good horses, who likes a punt, admittedly, a self-admitted likes a punt, returning from overseas, could be detained for questioning, and also another leading driver who is currently overseas could be detained for questioning at some stage. So it's a big mess, gentlemen, and it's not a good look for the harness racing industry. I'm not sure it's going to turn out to be any super-sized civil case-type scandal, but in the harness racing world, it's big news.
Yeah, look, it is. It'll be interesting to see if it's only three or four races. I fully respect that you obviously cautious about saying names, but if the names are right, then we're talking about high-profile drivers that have to front the court on Tuesday. And then I guess at some point, I've been reading a story earlier today, Mick, that there's one person trying to fight that his name actually doesn't get released.
Yeah, they're looking for name suppression, which is why we won't name them, because they're going to go for name suppression. And everybody knows who they are, Andrew, let's be honest. And actually, enough, it happened in Sydney race. Everybody would find out pretty quick, but we have to respect the court process. Look, the people who are at the top of the tree, by the top of the tree in New Zealand, of course, Mark Purden is not involved. So the champion trainer is not involved in this, just to clarify that, because he's the Chris Waller of harness racing. He's the one everybody knows. But we're talking people who have won premierships on the driving front. So look, it's an intriguing time, and it's hard to report on these things when you're close to these people, Andrew, as you know.
Yeah.
And as many people listening to this know, their friends are jockeys or drivers or stable hands or whatever. And you feel sort of icky reporting on it, but you have to do your job. And if these people are found to be convicted and have done some wrong, then they deserve to have their names out there. I feel a little bit icky because, having seen the races which are supposed to be involved, I'm extremely confident one of them is just an absolute no deal, and another one is a very much borderline deal to my eye, and it's only my opinion. So the telecommunications surveillance around those would need to be quite damning for those things to be prosecutable, I would have thought. And that's only my opinion. It's not the opinion of the New Zealand Racing Board or anybody else.
Yep.
And I'm not flagging the job that the police do, because I realise it's a tough job here. But I also think that, I'll be completely honest, fellas, if you bug the phone of every single person in racing for a year and listen to every conversation they had with all the bravado that goes on and people saying they're going to lead and do this and I'm going to do this and we got the money on this one. If you wrote those things down and literally put them in front of a judge, they would sound a lot more, you know, damaging than they actually are in real life, which is no different to me going to a game of rugby on Saturday and saying, look, I'm going to go kill that bloke, whereas literally I'm not going to kill him. But so I'm not saying that's the case here, but I think also that it's a nice warning to people in racing to say, look, when you are talking to people, you know, try and keep those conversations as clean as possible because a lot of times things could be misconstrued.
Yeah, understand. So the next thing on this, Mick, is Tuesday's hearing.
Tuesday in Christchurch hearings, there's going to be another leading horse person come up on a minor charge of drug supply. And this literally is a case of somebody who's taken allegedly two ecstasy pills home, hasn't wanted them, said to someone else, do you want them? The person said yes, given it to them, obviously for free, and is going to be done for drug supply. So that's this wider net you get caught in once telecommunications surveillance starts. And you sort of feel a little bit sorry for those people, regardless of their views on recreational drugs and whether they should be allowed or shouldn't be allowed. I mean, to have that dragged into the national consciousness for something which would usually be an $800 fine is probably a little bit of the collateral damage of this. But as I said, we'll find out more on Tuesday, Andrew. I would expect that if charges aren't dropped for some or one person, that the cases won't go ahead for a very long time, as we've seen with the recent Victoria case, which met its conclusions on Friday. So it's icky stuff. No one's enjoying it. It's not good for harness racing. But the game itself goes on, but just not for these people in the immediate future because their licences are suspended until the RIU are happy that they can go back to the game. And that could be several months if these charges aren't heard.
Okay, so we'll wait for Tuesday. Hey, just one quick one because I'm running slightly late now, but Chicago Bull, there's so much discussion about this pacer from the West. He's now the favourite to win the Victoria Cup in October. He's $3.20 over the fixer at $7. How good is Chicago Bull from Perth?
Look, he's the best of the bunch at the moment because probably five of the six best horses in Australasia from the time has been sold. Jillaby Kung Fu is injured. Ken Rocks has been sold overseas. Lenny the Shark has been retired. He might be the last man standing. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but at the moment, he's had a little virus this week. Chicago Bull deserves favouritism for every race between now and Christmas.
All right. We look forward to seeing him in Victoria for sure. Good on you, Mick. We'll wait and see what comes out of the hearing on Tuesday.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Mick. Mick Guerin there from the New Zealand Herald. You can read his material on there. And obviously, we'll just have to wait and see the hearings on Tuesday. It'll be well reported. Is it about three or four races? It's an investigation that has taken some 17 months. So we'll wait and see, Simon, what eventually gets played out on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's informative, very informative, Mick, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Look, and I respect it is at times difficult to report stories when you are dealing with these people, and I respect that he didn't want to mention their name, so it is a difficult one where people are going through the court system in New Zealand trying to have their name not published, so I fully respect that. Maybe there were a few listeners that could have been thinking we're going to mention names, but I fully respect that at this stage with court action pending on Tuesday that he didn't want to go there. So we'll wait for Tuesday.
Fair enough. Thanks very much, Benz. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon.
Good on you. Thanks, Simon.
And we'll catch you through the week. It's 12 minutes to 11. In just a moment, Dave Carlson will take a look at the world of greyhound racing.
It's Cheval Grand. Cheval Grand goes on and wins the Japan Cup.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the VT50 experts. With the VT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990 drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a VT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD 18808.
New South Wales' richest country race is fast approaching. And so is your chance to land a slot in the Kosciuszko. Ticket sales close 5 p.m. Thursday, with the slots drawn Friday. The Kosciuszko. Come on, be part of the thrill.
Yeah, just on that, with the ticket sales for the Kosciuszko, they close midnight on Thursday, so not 5 o'clock. But they will definitely close at midnight on Thursday, with the draw on Friday. It's 10 to 11.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
And Dave Carlton's on the line. Dave, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. I can tell you, back in my younger years, the great Australian band Skyhooks sang about $1 million riff. Now in 2018, $1 million greyhound race is rocking New South Wales, Simon.
Absolutely. So the heats have gone well through the week?
They've been fantastic. A lot of favourites, some upsets. The regional heats, they began last Monday on the road to the $1 million final on Saturday night, October the 20th at Wentworth Park. And Bathurst hosted four heats with track specialist and Bathurst Cup winner Miss Splendor Miro for George Borg, setting the time standard with 29.68. Rowan Hill was second. In heat number two, Vic Sultana's Skywave returned from her nationals final appearance in Melbourne to score in 29.86 from double up D, while Caitlin Keeping for Charmaine Roberts backed up beautifully from her blacktop win only 3 days earlier, pinging the lids from box eight to post a 29.94 victory over Emission Control. In the fourth and final heat, modus operandi for Rob Tyler stormed home for Down Midnight Treat in 30 and 10. Now, I'll go right through what happened throughout the week, Simon. On Tuesday night, it was Lismore's turn to host the heats, and Snug for Brisbane conditioner Darren Russell flew out of the boxes, defeating Cash Point in 30.04 with Kulu Jasper in third. Now, Cash Point received a ticket during the race and won't contest the Lismore final, and that greyhound has been sent to Victoria for the kennels with Anthony as a party. The other heat winners at Lismore were the Townsville Cup victor Big Bad Bob for George Clegg, who defeated Far More in time in 30 and 24. Raven Izmir for Kenny Staines in 30 and 18, with Final Chalice second, and Jonesy for Peter Simpson, proving too strong for Knock Me Over in 30.06 in the other heat. We moved to Thursday, and two regional tracks hosted heats of the $1 million chase at Maitland. Darren Russell continued his good week when 400-metre track record holder Precious Sal led all the way over the 450, clocking 24.82. Big Black was second. Let's hear the call from Macca of Precious Sal.
Away and running, she came out beautifully. Precious Sal to run to the lead over Big Black. They were fodded over on the inside there by O'Leary, Iwo Jima. Wicked Quantities out wide. They were fodded over on the inside. Bruno Zarin very deep in that first turn. Come on, George. As they travel up towards the turn and getting away in front, Precious Sal. Now, Big Black only three lengths away as they straighten over and then came further back to Wicked Quantity. But have a look at her go, Precious Sal. She's home. Too good for Big Black. Wicked Quantity. Come on, George. And then came Iwo Jima, fodded by O'Leary, and lost the ball was Bruno Zarin.
So that was the replay there of Precious Sal Teats, and it seemed like it was a pretty easy win there, Dave.
Absolutely. I mean, Big Black is a classy greyhound, tried hard, but didn't even get within a length of the winner. So Precious Sal, too good, 24.82. Simon, in the other heats, Flying Ella for Darren Sultana scored in 24.97 from Year OK, which gave Darren Russell two finalists at Maitland. Victorian visitor She's Gifted for Deb Coleman won her heat in 24.96 from Warren Harper's Knockout Hero, while Zipping Buddy for Jason McKay took out the fourth heat in 25.35 from Willoughby, trained by Jill Harper. Now, the Wagga heats were a favourites nightmare also on Thursday, with Murnyong Magic at $24 winning heat one in 30.63 from Corleone King and the $1.40 favourite Blue Sky Riot. In the second and final heat, $42 chance Lace Monster for Brian Honey won in 31.11 from Zipping Buck, with $2 favourite Zipping Olympia third after looking the winner in the straight. She just ran up the track, and that cost her success. Last night at Bulleye, two heats were contested, and the Ruth Maddock-trained M-Buy, who is a strong dog, actually exploded from box one to lead all the way. Let's hear the call.
Racing M-By got away beautifully from the inside, and so did Zipping Mitzi. Then she copped a check. Moving down the outside, Block of Fire, but M-By had the lead over Block of Fire. Bad Ronnie, Zipping Mitzi around the outer was Beck and Street. They'll followed by Gagan Colin getting into trouble. Then Tough Love and Big Casey at the tail. M-By is tearing along in the lead. Dash right away, Block of Fire, Bad Ronnie, Zipping Mitzi, Beck and Street. M-By trounces them. M-By by nine. Zipping Mitzi's got through to grab second. Ahead of Beck and Street, followed by Block and a
Fire. So that was the second heat of the Million Dollar Chase from Bulleye last night. And Dave, as you mentioned, M-By there from the Cherry, getting the cash over Zipping Mitzi and Beck and Street, running third.
Yeah, 28 and 54, a brilliant win there. Congratulations to Ruth Maddock. Zipping Mitzi was totally gallant, as you heard in Timmy Newbold's call. The Greyhound got checked, got squeezed out early to regain composure and somehow get second. Some nine lengths from the victor, Beck and Street ran third. The other heat went to Burning Fuel for Mark Wilcox in 28 and 77 from Goldstein and Nino D'Oro. Now, the regional finals are on this week at Bathurst. That's on tomorrow, Lismore on Tuesday, Maitland Thursday, Wagga Friday, and Bulleye next Saturday. Dubbo's heats will be run tomorrow with the final on Tuesday week, September 21. Regional heats and finals are also still to come from Tamora, Grafton, Nowra, Richmond, and the Gardens, with five city qualifiers to be run at Wentworth Park on Saturday, September 22. Now, after remedial works, racing at Wenty is going to recommence on Wednesday week, September 19. And don't forget, this Thursday night, the heats of the Group 1 Dapto Megastar will be run, Simon, with the final the following week, September 20, which is going to be my final on-track appearance for Sky Racing.
Yeah, oh, that's going to be a sad day, Dave.
Oh, well, mate, as they say, comes the time. It's been a wonderful innings. All the Greyhound people, all the participants, you know, everyone involved in Greyhound racing and indeed in Thoroughbred and Harness. You know, I really want to thank you all so much for the time you have given me. You know, you work so hard, you have such busy days, but you've all given me the time of day, and it's something I really, really appreciate, and I respect each and every one of you. My final day at Sky will be on the catching pen on Tuesday, September 25. But
when did you, was it around 2009, 2010 when you started?
2007.
Oh, gee whiz, it's, yeah.
And it's been a wonderful ride. Gee, I've had a great time. I've worked with so many terrific people, and I'm looking forward to working with the great Tony Brassel this afternoon on Sky Racing 1. But it's been terrific, Simon, and, well, life's rich pageant. It moves to a new chapter. I'm going to still be involved in Greyhound racing, but Sky's given me a fantastic ride, and I've loved every second of it. But, Simon, I've still got some more news. We're going to go south of the border, down Victoria Way, and the dog they call Batman. Tornado Tears took out the Battle of the Brothers match race at Sandown on Thursday night, leading all the way to defeat his sibling, Whippin' Sam, in 33 and 77. Why don't we hear the call? Go, Batman.
Away they go. Tornado Tears clearly won the start from the three, and he's going to speed over. Got down on top of Rippin' Sam a little bit early, and he's put about a 2.5 length gap with a round to go. Turning out of the straight, Tornado Tears has run 9.20 early. Rippin' Sam won't let him get away. He's a length back as they turn into the back now. Over by the distance boxes, Tornado Tears, the reigning champion, leads a length and a half. Rippin' Sam trying to go with him. Tornado Tears amping up the pressure up to the turn now. A length in front, Rippin' Sam's got to dig deep now. Tornado Tears turns in front. Rippin' Sam can't quite get there, and Tornado Tears all the way. Runs 9.20, 23.18, a brilliant 33.77. Tornado Tears maintains his tremendous record over his brother Rippin' Sam, who's gone down gallantly but gone down again.
So a great call of the match race there from Robbie Tester, and Batman getting the cash over his brother. Well, they weren't betting on the race, obviously.
No, they were, but it was just a fantastic concept and a good hit out before next Sunday's big speed star at Sandown. Rippin' Sam, I love Rippin' Sam. I love both of the Greyhounds. I don't know if you saw the catching pen the other night. I went down and did a feature story with Robbie Britton, and they're just beautiful animals. And they're great brothers, Rippin' Sam. He'll have his day in the sun. Don't worry about that. The time of 33 and 77 was 100th of a second faster than Tornado Tears' personal best, which was set in May in the Speed Star. And, gee, that Speed Star series returning to Sandown next Sunday afternoon and evening. I'll be on track with James Vandermeer. It's just going to be absolutely sensational. Now, in other news from Victoria, the Great Race Series has begun at regional tracks with the final to be run at the Meadows on Wednesday afternoon, October 24. The series, it's a community program and it supports many organisations within the disability sector, which is tremendous. Marg Long, Eddie Caruana and all the team at the Meadows and GRV, a great big well done. The Meadows is also going to be hosting the Group 1 Top Gun Sport